Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, April 25th, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening live over our radio or another network, you would like to ask a question or make a comment, go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our donation. Click on our weekly call for instructions to join us. Can someone mute that person or put us on mute? Click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of the website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading where we left off last week. We read in the Gospel of John. We read in chapter 6, so we're going to be picking up Gospel of John, chapter 7, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 7. After these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. Show thyself to the world, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is alway ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast, and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him, for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple, and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said, That Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Every man went unto his own house.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions or any announcements this evening?
Yes, if I can find the dilly-ding thing. Yeah, John, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. This drives me bananas. We have one, John.
Okay.
This is from someone who lives in Canada and was thinking of taking the grand jury course and thought that it would probably be applicable to Canadians as well, since it hails from common law in England. What do you think?
Well, that is true. As long as they have a hold on common law, I mean, that is key. Although we know we've been deceived, they've covered it up and they claim to abrogate it. And you go into the courts, they don't acknowledge it at all. And I'm sure it's pretty much the same thing up in Canada as it is in England also. But sometimes you can get a judge that might listen and respond correctly. So, yeah, I do think what we're doing here can be done in Canada or anyplace else, really. Look, at rights are all unalienable. The fact that we have... a constitution, that we're a republic, we're a common law republic. That's what kind of binds us into, or seals us up into, you know, the fact that our courts need to be and should be common law courts. They should be courts of justice. But unalienable rights belong to every person on the planet, just that governments deny people of those things. But I think a revolution is upon us, not only here in the United States, but I think worldwide. And I think we're going to see a lot of people turning towards that kind of thing. Hopefully in the United States we'll be able to accomplish it completely. I don't know that we can accomplish it completely. It's up to the people. If we can get at least half to two-thirds of the counties to start committees of safety, then we can have government by consent, and we surely can have common law in our courts. We can receive justice in our courts. The Constitution could be reestablished. But it's up to the people. This is all up to the people. The military is not going to accomplish this. Donald Trump is not going to accomplish this. I was listening to Donald Trump just recently. I don't know where he was talking, but it was a recent speech when he was talking, a rally. And he, again, called us a democracy. Donald Trump does not know that we are a republic. And it's not his fault. You know, he's a pretty brilliant guy. But he's ignorant to this fact, as most of us are, because they've hidden this from us. And they have not properly educated us. They've destroyed our republic. And this was clearly done going back into 1750 to destroy our republic in the colonies. And before we even became a nation, before we became the United States. And so it was the Bar Association that set forth to destroy our republic. And in, I think it was 1818 or approximately that time period, right, in the beginning of the 19th century there, the Pope and king collaborated and agreed to plunder America ultimately, to destroy our economy, to destroy our republic ultimately, to destroy our judicial system, our judicial process, and to destroy common law, which of course all are one and the same. But it was important for them to destroy that in order to, again, seize control. And that has never stopped. So really, the revolution continued. It didn't end back then. It continued, and it continued through today, and it's been continuing covertly. Right now, I believe, it's over. People are starting to see it. And it's time to end the finale of the revolution. And I think that time is coming. And so, yes, I think Canada is in prime position to be able to do something and step up and do what we're doing. You know, they need, I don't know if they have, if Canada, I don't think, is a republic. I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't think they are. But again, that's an important part of who we are, that we are a natural law republic. That's what seals our, our natural law in our courts. And of course, everything that they have done is null and void. It's repugnant to the Constitution, so it's null and void. And all we have to do is step up and declare that, to nullify it. Jefferson often spoke that the proper process of some of these things, of this kind of a thing particularly, is just nullification by the people, and we the people can do it. And how do we do it? We do it in the courts, by taking control of the courts. And how do we take control of the courts? We get our courts back to courts of justice. We the people educate ourselves, and when we sit as a grand jury, we have an understanding of who we are as a people, and the fact that we have the power to declare the law, in the case of the trial jury, they declare the law. But to some degree, I think that's true in the grand jury also. Of course, they make the decision whether they're going to indict or not indict, and send that in then, therefore, for trial, for proof, to test the validity of the charges. But of course, the people sitting as the jury, as the final decision, and they ultimately are the law. They make the law right there at the end of the case. They make their decision, and they also should be making a decision on what the restitution should be. The restitution itself will apply as a punishment, but restitution should have, they should be looking, have an eye on the injured party. How are we going to restore this injured party? And that's where the focus, of course, should be. But as long as we remain ignorant to these things, then they'll continue to control us as their puppets, and we will continue to have courts of injustice and not courts of justice. We will be their puppets, and they'll continue to stack juries, and we may think we're doing something, but they'd have total control. Every once in a while, of course, you get a jury that runs away from all this and does come in and approach a case correctly and exercises nullification and does the right thing to have a court of justice. All right. Anything else, Jan? I think you said there was only one, right? You're muted if you're talking.
Of course. That's the only one we have tonight.
Okay. And there is no announcements?
No.
Okay. We have no district leaders that can give us any reports yet? Kind of hoping on that.
No.
Nope. Okay. Well, I'm kind of looking for the district leaders to pop up on a Monday evening and give us a little report. They don't have to spend much time. Talk to us for a minute. Tell us how many committees of safety you have going in the particular states that you're responsible for, and maybe even just read off the counties, and we'll give a report of some communications that's going on, so the people know what it is that we're doing. Okay, the last few weeks we've been looking at important subjects. We've looked at the Republic. We've looked at versus democracy. And we've looked at dealing with candidates. We've looked at the Bar Association, that the Bar must be disbanded. There's no getting away from it. They are guilty of subversion. Their whole focus is to destroy. And they don't realize it, you know, because, again, they're as dumb as we were. And they come from the same schools we went to. And once they get them into college, forget about it. You know, they just teach them all the lies that were under Roman law or whatever the case may be. Common law has been abrogated. They have no idea that it's an impossibility, and it's an assault not only upon the people, but also an assault on God, because we have a covenant with God. It's the Declaration of Independence, where we asked for the blessings and received the blessings of God, and to live under His law. And so, but in any event, we also looked at political parties, how political parties are destructive to this nation, destructive to this common law nation, and they too have to, you know, be done away with. They will fall away by attrition, as long as the people step up and take control within the counties, because in no time at all, they will overwhelm and overtake the elected committeeman. And the proper committeeman, which is the committeeman of the committees of safety, will take control of the political process, which is government by consent, without party bosses. And, you know, so they're constantly, you know, falling apart, losing people, and they have a high attrition rate, and they're always looking for new members. And I think a lot of members, once they discover what we're doing, is they're going to come over to us real quickly and have real power and get really involved in their communities, in their counties, and learn the common law, learn the things that need to be learned, and to bring our message to our communities. To our schools, require civics and constitution to be taught in schools, and so on and so forth. And so the parties will fall apart on their own if the people step up and do what they have to do. The bar, we will assault the bar directly in the federal courts immediately after devolution, and work towards disbanding the bar. Any judge that belongs to the bar must leave it, because, again, they're in conflict with the Constitution. They've been taught a lie, they believe a lie, they exercise a lie. But I think a lot of judges know it's a lie. You know, the highly educated ones, I think they know it's a lie. But they've sold their soul to the devil, so they pay homage to the devil. And those judges may end up at the end of a short rope. And we'll see what the people decide at that point, because a lot of them will be indicted, and the people will decide. Okay, so anyway, that's what we've been looking at. I'm going to open. We're open right now for a Q&A, so anybody wants to get... I'm sorry. Let me press that back again. I don't know how I did that. Let me hit Q&A back again. I don't know if anybody was in the queue, but it's a *6 to get into the queue. So if anybody has a question, a comment, a correction, or anything to offer, *6 and a 1, and we'll take any questions and comments for a while. In a short period, we'll be going over to Brent. But I do see a couple people in the queue right now. So before I start taking questions, there was a couple other things I wanted to make a note of. I went out there and I was looking at our handbooks and different information that we've given out over by the handbooks. And the charter, for instance, I updated the charter. I added a few little things. Maybe next week I'll go through the charter and we'll talk about that. Each county should have a charter. Anybody that's going to approach a sheriff, anybody who's going to create a committee of safety, it is extremely, extremely important that you follow the protocol. You know, you can't go approach a sheriff right out of the box and blindly and not prepare him or her for what you're doing there. You have to have a charter. You have to have resolution. It has to be official looking. You have to have a seal. And you could do this in a couple of months, put it together. You can literally do it in a couple of weeks if you got a lot of people. If you get maybe half a dozen or a dozen people together, you can run. You can put that together pretty quickly. And remember, you know, you can always add to those things. We just put together a framework. I think it's very logical and obvious, a framework of a charter and the resolutions. People can add to it. They're expected to add to it. And each county has their own problems, their own situations, their own focuses, their own concerns, you know, each community. So people have to do what they have to do on the grassroots level. So we're just giving the tools for the people to work with. But we have to prepare the sheriff. And one of the things we've put together is, you know, we have, and you can find this on the right-hand side of our website. Let me scroll down a bit here. You also find it on our front page in the center. But you'll find donation for our campaign for our constitutional sheriffs. And what that is you donate, I think it's $50, you donate, and we will send the sheriff a book, Government by Consent, and that book will be with a letter from Sheriff Darr, who's been working with us on this campaign for constitutional sheriffs, and also a letter from National Liberty Alliance. And it gives that, it sort of primes the sheriff so that the sheriff gets some information beforehand. So that when you make the phone call to meet with the sheriff, you know, your first phone call should be just to talk to him about meeting with him for 5 or 10 minutes. And then when you meet with him, you give him a copy of your charter, your resolutions, you ask him if he got the book, and you give him a brief idea of what you're doing, which is really everything's really laid out ultimately in your charter and your resolution, and of course the book, which you're trying to bring things back under the Constitution, and we want to get all these elected individuals to start to be obedient to our Constitution. And, you know, at that point he's been primed a little bit. And you make an appointment for the next meeting for him to come to your meeting, okay, and address the people, and you'd like to discuss things with him. So now he's got 30 days or whatever you give him, and he's got the book. Hopefully he's starting to read the book. I'm sure he'll read through the charter. He can't disagree with the charter, can't disagree with the resolutions. They're very powerful. They're very focused on our Constitution, who we are as a people, our heritage, our liberty, and the fact that we are a common law nation. So now the sheriff is primed. He's kind of ready to hear from you. Most sheriffs don't have a clue on anything we're talking about, just like most people. As I mentioned, the president of the, you know, President Trump, you know, our champion, okay, does not know we are a republic. He doesn't. I get so sick and tired listening to all these people, you know, talking, and they talk about us being a democracy. It's insane. Total insanity. But they don't know. They don't understand. It's not part of their conversation. It's not part of their lingo. They've never been taught anything, so they don't know. Okay, anyway, next week I think I'm going to pick up on the charter, talk a little bit about that. I don't know whether I'll pick up also on some more questions. I did do a thing on questions for our potential elected officials, you know, candidates. And really, there's not much to question them on. I mean, I've been thinking about this, struggling. Really, we have to dictate to them. What question can we possibly ask them? Anybody thinks they got a good question to ask a sheriff or a person that's running for office that is important to see what their response is, you know, bring that up. But I've been racking my brain up. There's not that much, you know. You know, you can ask them about the Constitution, but it'll be very simple, their response, and it doesn't mean anything because the Constitution isn't really powerfully struck into their mind, so to speak. So maybe with the sheriff it might be a little more. But he's totally ignorant and depends on bar attorneys also. So, again, back to the same old problem. We're just under the thumb of the New World Order, ultimately, where people have been enslaved. But with that, we'll go to some questions. We'll take our first person here, John. It looks from John from, what's that, Missouri? No, not Missouri. It is Michigan, MI. John from Michigan. Oh, are you? You got your mic. There it is. You got the mic. Go ahead, John.
Hey, thank you. Hey, two questions.
Yeah.
First off, I know that I was reading whatever. There's going to be that movie 2,000 Mules. It's going to be shown in, I don't know, quite a few hundred theaters on the 2nd and the 4th of May. And it's all about the fraud of the last election. I don't know if you're aware of that Denise D'Souza or whatever his name is kind of put that thing together.
Well, I wasn't aware of it, but it doesn't surprise me. I was assuming something like that would come up, and I think there's going to be a lot of things coming up once the trials begin, and a lot of documentaries and things that are probably in the works right now to explain to the people a lot of things. I presume, I have to believe that. But no, I'm not familiar with any of the specifics on that. So.
Well, I'm just letting you know. I was reading it on the 2nd and the 4th of May. I know there's four theaters in the state of Michigan, and they've got them. Pretty much all the states got three or four theaters that they're going to be on in a couple different days. And so there's going to be a lot of people going to those things that think like we think.
Mm-hmm. Is there a place online we can go to look this up to see where in our own states we would find this?
Second, I'm looking on my computer. I'll see if I can find that.
Okay.
But I'll, if nothing else, I'll get back with you on that one there.
Yeah. If you don't get back to us on the call here, you can get to us by sending that to mail at nationallibertyalliance.org, and all our leadership gets a copy of that. Mail at nationallibertyalliance.org. We do have some people who are soliciting us. Maybe in just sending, you know, videos and different things at that particular email address. Please don't send anything except for communications with the leadership here, because we get a lot of mail, and this is really just to focus in on responding to people. But
well,
go ahead, John.
My point was is that if on those things, if there's 300 people, 400 people to the theater like that, and there's 200 theaters across country doing this. I wonder if there'd be an objection to perhaps setting up a table with some information from NLA out in front of those things or in a lobby?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I believe we have national meeting tomorrow for the national leadership, shall I say, and I know Francine's on tonight listening in, so maybe she can bring this idea up to our national leadership. And maybe we could put some brochures together, maybe list out some ideas. Anybody else that has any ideas or thoughts about that kind of a thing or an idea with a brochure, maybe something creative, again, get to us at mail, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and someone will respond to that and maybe even communicate more with you on these ideas. So, yeah, whatever ideas we can, because that's a great idea. Because we can bring in a lot of people. Because those people that would go to something like that are probably people that would, a strong likelihood, get involved in actually taking this country back. You know, I listen to a lot of different programs from time to time, and I hear, you know, for instance, numerous people. You know, they'll say the people got to get up, they got to do something, they got to get involved. But when the question is what do they do? Nobody has an answer. Well, National Liberty Alliance has lots of answers to that because that's what we've been working on for many, many years now. I don't even know how many years, 12, 15 years. I don't recall how long NLA's been around. I think 2013, so it's got to be 10 years, I guess. Let me think. I think that's what it was. 10 years, maybe 9 years. And we've been longer than that, of course. We go back to 2008 or 2009 where we set up our website and was doing different things with the committeemen and so on. But in any event, you know, we do need to get the word out. And a lot of people are saying, do something. I heard General Flynn say, well, go down and get involved with the precincts, people, and this or that. And well, that's only going to the enemy and putting yourself under their thumb. He doesn't realize that because they're all controlled by party bosses. It's all part of the deep state control, all created by the Bar Association. All this stuff is created and supported and controlled and empowered by the Bar Association, all of it. And that's what we got. So if we can get our message out to someone like General Flynn, or I know we tried sending a book to the president, and I think we did it twice, and it just gets returned. So whoever is getting his mail is just pushing it back to us. So we don't have any way to get a book to them. But if we can get maybe two books to Flynn and ask Flynn to get a book to the president, anybody can figure that out and let us know, and maybe we'll try that route. But anyway, John.
Ask about was, I'm in kind of an ideal situation. I know Bob Overhuel and I were had a couple meetings up here with trying to organize a committee of safety and surrounding ones. But I'm about 4 miles south of Berry County, which is Darleaf County, and I'm good friends with Dar. I've been meeting with him for years now. Is it possible to set up a committee of safety in the next county up? That would be, I'm thinking if we have a committee of safety in any one county in Michigan, it certainly should be in Berry County where Darleaf is.
Right.
You don't have to prime anything for that. That guy's a superstar and he's on fire, so.
Well, are you connected in with the meetings on with the national leadership that we have going with, I think it's on Tuesdays. You'd have to get in touch with Francine for details on that if you're not.
I'm looking for some with that being close up all close in person with Dar. I'm just saying what would be he'll work with me on that. I'm sure he'll work with me on that thing. And I got about 16 of us been meeting.
Right, and Dar's all ready to go. He's on board already with all this stuff. Really, that would be a really powerful county getting Dar's county up and going. So. Let us focus on that. Let us really focus on that point because that's important. And what we try to tell people is when you go do your meetings and stuff, invite people in your next door counties. Have them come out, see what you're doing. They'll maybe even participate for a while with you and hopefully spark off one up in their counties because that's the idea, working county to county. And that's the purpose of the Committee of Correspondence so that we can communicate between the counties. When we have a situation that affects numerous counties or all the counties within a particular state, that communications through the Committee of Correspondence is an important part of our program and to be united and come together and really focus in and deal with the problems. We can solve every and all problems and we can have success 100% of the times. Let me say that again. We can solve every single one of our problems and we can have success 100% of the times. Okay, if the people get together and decide, I want government by consent back. We the people need to take control. How do you do that? Committee of Safety takes control of the political system, the judicial system, all of the local governments, and your part, of course, with the state legislators and the governor. And, if you get half your counties in your state going or more, you're going to take your state back 100%. We get 100%, we get 50% or 2/3 of the counties across the United States. We're going to take back the federal government. The judiciary is going to be pretty quick and easy because we'll be able to take that back through the courts, I think, rather quickly. I hope so, anyway. I think within the year, before the year is spent, if devolution plays out, hopefully in the next couple of months or sooner, I hope. But, we'll see when that happens.
Well, I'll tell you, before I let you go, I got to tell you a story about Darleaf. Just tell you the kind of man he is. All of his officers have permission. If they catch somebody, a kid speeding or whatever like that, pull them over. They've got a couple of different options. He says you can write them a ticket, or you can give them your business card and have them bring their mom and dad into the sheriff's office and have a talk about that. I don't know about you, but when I was 16 or 17, if I had to bring my mom and dad in because I got a ticket. But I'm just saying that he's not, he says, I'm not here to generate money for the county. he says, I'm here for public safety. He's a peace officer, and he's a hell of a man. He really is. And so, I mean, that's I want to get that moving up there in Berry County.
Yeah, we could do some really creative things. I mean, look, if the people get together and talk it out in the county, work it out with the sheriff, and come up with some good ideas that to deal with situations and problems, like let's take someone driving while intoxicated or something of that nature. Maybe take the keys away from the person and drop it off at the grand jury. So when the next time the grand jury meets, that's when you come down to, I don't know if that, well, I guess that could legally be done if the people decide to do that. But, you know, people can come up with some creative ideas, and then they got to go down and they got to deal with the grand jury and how are they going to get their vehicle back and, the keys to the vehicle anyway. And so that's kind of an idea. And of course, if it happens the second time, then, even if it's the first time, especially if someone gets hurt or something, you know, an indictment would be the proper thing.
Here's a question for you to think about this. Now, they say half of all accidents are caused by drunk drivers, which by definition means half of all accidents are caused by sober drivers. What the hell are we going to do with these sober drivers that get in accidents? Just turn the question around a little bit. I mean, it's... Mm-hmm. But
remember, a sober person has an accident. It is an accident. When an intoxicated person has an accident, it's not really an accident no more, because they purposely understood that they were not, or they didn't have all of the facilities about them to be able to be out there on the road on a car . But I mean, I'm not sure if I understand your position or your thinking on that. But that's kind of a response I would have to that.
All I'm saying is that under the common law, there's got to be a victim, okay? If you're driving drunk, there is
absolutely.
No victim.
Well, yeah, there is a victim in a sense. Just like, look at if someone is, stealing from a company, you might say, well, there's really no victim. Well, yeah, there is a victim. People are a victim ultimately. Society is a victim. It's kind of a touchy situation. So I think we need to think about these things and get some conversations going on so that we can get our minds clear on a lot of different issues that are kind of foggy. And some of these things, I think, are kind of foggy. But I think we can solve them and think about them. And if people solve them in one county, they share with another county back again to the committees of correspondence, because that kind of information flows throughout throughout the whole United States, ultimately, as the counties start to join in and do these things. And bring in, and of course an important thing is the Committee of Education, to get a proper education in the school, to teach our children the proper things and their duty. Children should be taught in schools, how to drive. Everybody should learn how to drive, and that should be something the schools are responsible for. How to handle a weapon, a handgun and a rifle. Everybody should know how to do that. A lot of things. That all is, solved with education. The duty of every individual to get involved in their community. And if they can't get involved in their community on a regular monthly basis, they can come from time to time, at least to the Committee of Safety meeting. But, we have to educate our children. And the great thing about the Committee of Safety is there's no limit to the number of people. It could be 100 people, it could be 1,000 people, it could be as long as you just have to get a bigger place to meet in. Got enough people, you'd be able to deal with that. But in any event, with the elected thing, which is bar controlled, statute controlled, boss controlled, okay, all of that, it's very limited. 249 people is the limit here in each party here in my county, and you can't. No more people can get involved. But on the other side, being elected to that is not part of the process. It's the people that want to get involved. I forget who said this, but I think it was maybe Jefferson. But we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And participating, anybody should be able to participate. We all should. So when we come together and we have a great idea in one county, we communicated with others, other counties, hey, that's a great idea, and they'll build upon it, maybe come up with something a little better, and then they share that back, and we can eventually share this across the nation. Of course, one of the purposes of National Liberty Alliance is to facilitate an organization, a communication, all between, an organization and communications and an education, between the people who start the committees of safety. Of course, we don't get involved in their personal problems or situations. We don't dictate anything to them. We just offer them the education, offer them the necessary tools they need to work with. Everything that they need, we're offering them. And if something we're missing, we figure it out, and we'll offer that too.
All right, before I let you go, what was your email again?
Well, to get the message to all our leadership, everybody gets, I believe everybody in our leadership gets this. It's mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org.
That's all spelled out?
Yeah, that's it, all spelled out. Yeah, we couldn't get NLA. NLA is the National Lawyers Association, I think it is. NLA, yeah. So,
all right.
Shame we couldn't get that.
Over that, over to you about the 2,000 Mules is a movie, and I watched one of her movies that Dinesh D'Souza put out, I was 5-6 years ago, and it was, but this one here, from the sound of it, it's pretty eye-opening.
2,000 what?
2,000 Mules, M-U-L-E-S.
M-U-L-E-S, okay.
On the night of the election, they had literally 2,000 people out there who were dropping ballots in those drop boxes. It was all GPSed, and they took pictures themselves to prove they did it. They got paid. It's pretty stunning, actually. So,
all right. Well, we'll try to. You get us whatever information you can, and we'll try to post it and get it out to everyone. We'll send an email information on our email, and we'll maybe put something on our front page concerning this.
I'll get the information to you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller. Let's see. That would be. Well, we have a phone number, 269. Give us your first name and your state.
I'm Bob Humphrey, Michigan.
Bob from Michigan. Go right ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I was just, you mentioned the revolution, and that I'm sure with many people, many visions are conjured up when you say the word, and I was just curious define.
Right. Well, we're of course focusing in on the American Revolution, which never ended. It never ended. It continues to this very day.
Uh-huh. But in this instance, today, 2022, what's your definition or vision of revolution?
Well, a revolution is ultimately the turn to another, something new, a revolution, the end of one and beginning of another. We've never completely won and completed the Revolutionary War, which was a complete change. You know, we went from a government under Britain, and we became a common law republic. And even though that has kind of taken place, the assault upon our way of life has continued and continues to this very, very day. I mean, just look at all of the things that the Bar Association has done, all of the laws. You know, they have steered the control of Congress, in not only in the United States Congress, both houses, but also in the states. They steered the law. They steered, all of the necessary legislation that they want in place. And they've built a legislative prison, a statutory prison for us. We live in a statutory prison. When people really get the true taste of freedom, which I think we're going to get very quickly after devolution, it's going to be amazing, people, you know, with all the things that we've been ripped off with. I mean, we've been robbed. We're all casualties of war. I've been robbed. I've been robbed numerous times, constantly. And a lot of people have been robbed and they don't even know it. Every time you pay your taxes, your income tax, you're being robbed. You pay your taxes on your property, you're being robbed. You pay money to go into a court, you're being robbed. I mean, everything is taxed. I mean, and if anybody thinks any of that money goes into the government to solve the people's problems, well, I got a bridge in Brooklyn for them for sale. Because it all goes in to just enhance and build and continue and support the New World Order's movement here through using the deep state. And of course, the Bar Association is the one that makes it possible because they create the whole judicial process, taking control. They got the Rules Enabling Act through. They control the courts. They've thrown out the Constitution. They've turned our common law into civil law. And we are in big trouble unless the people step up. And I'm telling you again, I hope people listen and understand this. It's extremely important. Trump cannot save this nation, and neither can the military. They cannot save this nation. They can bring it back and put it back on track, but it's up to the people to step up and take control and have government by consent. Because if there's no government by consent of the people, then who is consenting to our government? It'll go right back into the same hands as somebody else's hands. We'll do the same thing again. We will end up back here again, because that's the nature of the of man, ultimately. The hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know? I mean, that's a biblical quote.
Now, do you see, then, the revolution as being the consummation of the first revolution?
Well, I think it's the end of the Revolutionary War. Again, my point that I'm trying to say is the Revolutionary War never ended. It has continued to this day. It just went covert. That's all. It's been behind the scenes. People are not aware of it. Now people are seeing. They're starting to become aware of it. Many of us has woken up. A lot of us has woken up over the past 20 years particularly. But now a lot of people are becoming aware there's something wrong here. Something doesn't shake right. And this is, once we finish the Revolutionary War, it will not be complete, ultimately, in my opinion. It will not be complete until the people take control of the nation to take side, to get involved, to have government by consent. And there's only one way to do that. I challenge anyone to show me any other way. I've mentioned this for 10 years or whatever. There's no way to do these things other than what we're offering to you. Unless we're missing something somewhere, please inform us. It's got to be through the committees of safety, the people on the grassroots level within their county organizing, taking control of all of the necessary controls of government, because right now it's being controlled by the deep state.
So the revolution then in your mind is a more of a state by state process.
Well, no, it's ultimately the state. Well, in order to take back the federal government, you've got to take back all the states. First, it starts in your own community. You take back your own community, take back control in your county, another county doing the same, another county doing the same. You get 50%, 60%, 70% of the counties in your state doing it. You've taken back the whole state. You may not even need 50%, but, you know, let's just say you need 50 to 50% of the counties. Same thing with the United States. You're going to need 50% of the states or 50% of the counties throughout the states in order to really get it going. And once it goes and starts working, it'll grow very quickly, because once people realize the problems that they got here or there with maybe a bureaucrat or whatever the case may be, and they hear about the Committee of Safety, they go down and they get their problem solved, and then, of course, they learn about the Committee of Safety. Well, why don't you join us? Come on, help. You know, freely you've been given. Let's freely give back. You have a duty. We all have a duty to get involved. Anybody who is not belonging to a Committee of Safety is not fulfilling the duty that they have in order to serve their own country, to serve this nation, and to bring things, law and order, back. Because if we don't do it, who does it? Who's going to do it? And I always say this. Do not think that the other guy is doing it. I don't have to worry about it. I got other things to do. The other guy's going to. Don't think that, because the other guy's thinking the same thing, unfortunately. We've been brainwashed to think that way. Oh, Trump will take care of it, bring the nation back. We can go enjoy our life. Forget about it. If that's your attitude, forget about it. We'll be back here in no time.
Mm-hmm. Now, if once a state is taken over by the people, does it succeed from the federal?
No, why would they? Absolutely not. No, we want the United States. We've got a constitution, a great constitution. We've got a great form of government. States need to be free and independent, but they've come together under a compact to create the federal government, which is a necessity in order to be a nation. It's an absolute necessity, but it's limited power. It's defined in the Constitution through Article 1, Article 2, and Article 3, ultimately, is the main forms of power given. I mean, the whole Constitution, of course, but, you know, Article 1 focuses in on legislators, you know, Article 2 focuses in on the president, Article 3 focuses in on the courts. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be moving over to Brent, but we'll take another call or two, and then we'll pick the other callers back up after Brent takes the mic for a while. But let's take another, at least one more question for right now. We've got about four people in the queue. Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead, Ross.
Hello. Should we, once people establish community safety, should we also add a monetary subcommittee?
A monetary? M-O-N? Yes. Monetary? Well, I'm not sure how exactly you might mean that. What are you thinking when you say
monetary that? Means money.
Yeah, but I mean, how are you thinking of that? Are you thinking about like a treasurer in order to get funds to do things? Is that what you're thinking? Or in what sense monetary? You know, what sense?
Like the credit rate, credit and the money.
Mm-hmm.
Like
well,
the
well,
gold coins and that.
Okay, well, look, at the Fed's going to be destroyed by gold. I mean, that we've been hearing that for quite some time. And so the Fed's out. And the police force of the Fed, which claims to be a government agency, which is not, Congress has never created, or the IRS, there is no creation of the IRS anywhere in legislation, never was, but they just appeared, I think it was 1971 or 73, they just appeared right there in power as if they were put together and formed by the legislators, but they were not. So all that's going to fall apart. The Fed, of course, is a private-owned bank by foreign bankers. I'm sure there's some Americans who are involved in that, of course, but, it's all private banksters. And there's a lot of people who own pieces, stock in it. I don't know however that works out. But they have no idea what's going on, but in any event. But all that's going to fall apart, so we don't have to worry too much. Gold and silver is a constitutional requirement. So if we're going to go back to the Constitution, then we need to go back to gold and silver. There's no question about it. There is no other way that can support our monetary system here in the United States. And that ultimately, I think, will move around the whole world. I think everyone's going to turn to gold and silver eventually.
Yeah. I already heard that Russia and China's way are going to gold and silver is called a commodity kind of thing.
What kind? A service what?
Gold and silver is a commodity.
Well, look, it's sort of like bartering. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, it was.
Okay, and that'll always be part of our way of life. Bartering is part of the things. But the thing is this: I think any country who wants to grow in power, and especially economic power, they're going to need to move to gold and silver. I think the whole world is going to go there at some point. The whole world has been brought under the dollar, at least most of it, I think, and that's all collapsing. But the only thing that makes sense and the only thing that's ever proved itself is gold and silver. Nothing else has ever worked. Everything else fails. We have this Bitcoin.
Yes.
And I get to hear a lot of people talking about Bitcoins. And I'll tell you why. It's just air. There's nothing there. There's nothing to back it. I mean, I don't see what people are doing with this Bitcoins. Bitcoins may very well be, maybe I shouldn't say this, but it may be the enemy who threw that out there. We have no clue. But it's supported by nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's just air. Okay? So gold and silver is the only way, the only proven way for a sound economy.
Yeah, because that's where a lot of what the Bible talks about. And
mm-hmm.
What
and then bartering, of course, is very good. You got some corn, and I got some wheat, and you got this, and you got that, and that's great too. Bartering is great.
So, yeah, I heard that.
I got a service to offer, and you got some food, or whatever the case may be. I'll give you free my service. You give me your service free. I mean, bartering's good and works with this whole system also. So, but go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, I was saying China and. Are we buying a lot of gold and silver mines to get control of the gold and silver means our own government is not pursuing any Gordon silver mines.
Right, but remember, we've had a lot of gold and silver, that particularly gold, that was we were ripped off for, but I understand that when President Trump was president, that he had seized a lot of that gold back. And remember, you know, like he said, you go rob a diamond store, when you get caught, you got to give the diamonds back. Well, look, they got to give the gold back. I mean, you take the Rothschilds specifically, one of the most richest families in the world. Recently, I heard there's another family far greater and richer than the Rothschilds. I never even heard about it, and I forget the name of the individuals of that family. But in any event, Rothschilds is just... it's unbelievable. They are unbelievably rich, and they own so much. Okay, lots of property. You know, they got lots of gold and silver. They own banks. They own businesses. They own corporations. They own so much. It's trillions and trillions of dollars just in one family. Okay, that flows through. Well, they got to give that back. We got to take it all. Okay, and that's just one family. You know, you got the Rockefellers, the Warburgs. I mean, it just goes on and on. And all of these people, you know, look at, you hear these people that go into office and all of a sudden they're millionaires. They went in paupers and they're in an office, and particularly in the federal level, but I'm sure on the state level too. And next thing you know, they're millionaires. Well, how did they become millionaires? Well, again, they got to give it all back. They got to give their cars back, everything's got to come back. So where's it going to go? What is government going to do with that? Well, let me tell you, what government has no choice but to do with that. They have to pay the injured parties. And it's not just Americans. Remember, this is a worldwide thing, so we're not the only ones involved with this. And that's going to be a shot in the arm for people to start thinking of a common law republic, thinking of liberty and a free economic system, that kind of a thing, that kind of a shot in the arm. So, yeah, I think every person, and we'll just talk about America, every person in the United States is going to get a fat check or something, if you want to call it that, or whatever, a deposit in the bank or whatever. I really do believe that. Because, again, government can't keep it, and it's the people who have been damaged. I've been injured severely many times over the years, and I need to be restored, and I intend on getting restored, but I think it's going to happen automatically.
Another question I have. Does the federal government own the Methode National Forest?
Does the government own which forest?
Methode National Forest.
Well, the federal government doesn't really own anything, with the exception of certain territories that were given to them and pieces of land for certain purposes within the states. They've kind of seized control of a lot of different land, like forest, you know, national parks, that kind of thing. And is that what you're talking about, national parks?
Yes.
Yeah. And, yes. You know, they've seized control of that. They got to let that go. There's a lot of money being made in these national parks, and that belongs back to the people of the state where those national parks are. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how that could be worked out. Maybe they should be called state parks, but... maybe they can leave the name or the idea of national parks here or there, but controlled by the states, and the benefit of the income coming in should be to the states. This should not be to the federal government. The federal government has no business to...
That means the community safety has to fix that there, too.
Absolutely. There's a lot that we, the people, need to fix, and that's why it's so important to join together in a national level for conversation, for communications, for ideas. And a good idea that's sound and self-evident, okay, logical, self-evident, same thing. A good idea will move across all the counties, and in one accord we can move towards the things and get the right things done. I got a whole list of things that really need to be dealt with, but right now the key thing is getting committees of safety, get people educated, get these different committees going and the subcommittees, get an education with the people, dealing with the Bar Association, and disbarring the Bar Association, if I may.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, we do have three more callers in the list. What we're going to do, though, is I'm going to move over to Brent. And then we will, hang on a minute, I just want to mute everyone else up. I'm going to move over to Brent, and then we'll come back to callers for the rest of the evening. Brent, are you ready to take the mic for a while? And Gerard, are you here? Is Gerard here? Anybody seen Gerard? I know I tried to call him a little earlier, but he didn't answer his phone, so. All right, Brent, are you ready to take the mic?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right, I'm going to pass the mic over to Brent. This is Brent Allen Winters. He's the author of The Excellence of the Common Law. His website is commonlawyer.com, and Brent is going to talk to us about something. Common law, whatever.
Okay, thank you.
You got it.
Okay, yeah. Thanks. This is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com, and my comments are my own, as always. May or may not agree with the principles and the leadership of National Liberty Alliance, but usually pretty close. I want to start by throwing out an idea. I invite your comments, too. It's not an idea. It's a fact. I wouldn't be saying it. But at the same time, it's not a popular point of view among the patriot community. But it is the truth. And it is this. This idea that there has to be a victim for a crime has never been true at common law, and it's not true according to the Bible either. And then when you apply just a little bit of contemplation to it, it's easy to see why. I was talking to a sheriff's deputy in Clay County Courthouse in Indiana not long ago. Oh, you know, like a lot of these guys are in law enforcement, they get out of the service and they used to busting heads, so they want to get a job in law enforcement and go to busting heads again, I guess. He was a sheriff's deputy, and he was in charge that day in the courthouse. Of course, the courthouse was very small, nobody in it. But they always have a deputy there to deal with any problems that may arise. So I got to talking to him. It's an old courthouse. He had a desk set up right in the middle, with a rotunda in the middle. And after asking him how long he'd been on the department, et cetera. Does he have children? He had a couple of daughters. And he was bragging to me about his daughters, how they were on athletic teams. And then he got to talking about how the lesbians were trying to take over the softball team with the girls. I said, well, that's nothing new, Pard. He was a young fella. I said, that's been going on for years. And you'll find out that places like that, athletic teams for girls draw lesbians. And they want, and it draws men that want to abuse girls too. We just had a fellow here thrown in prison. I knew the family. He was thrown in prison for 60 years. He was a coach of a girls softball team. You can imagine why he was thrown in prison. Well, that's another matter, I suppose. We got to talking to him, and he got to talking about that, and he said, well, I don't care what they do in private. I don't care. They can do whatever they want to do. But see, that's the attitude that allows this idea that there has to be a victim for there to be a crime. And consenting adults can do whatever they want. No, sodomy, lesbianism has always been a crime among countries that had any sense of prosperity. And when those things become not criminal, those cultures, those countries go down. History is clear as crystal about that. And the Bible's clear as crystal, too. If you want to know what'll take our country down, go to the Bible and just make a list of the crimes that God calls capital crimes, the crimes you could be killed for, executed for doing. Those are the crimes that will take any country down. Even throughout countries in the world today, there are, even in countries that say they hate capital punishment, and they think and say that Americans are barbaric for having capital punishment for certain crimes. Well, even in those countries, France, I use that as an example because they're one of the larger ones. France has been prolific about saying that Americans are barbarians because they have capital crimes. They execute people. And off and on, we've done that ever since our beginning, and still doing it. But all countries have capital crimes. They just don't want to talk about it. I mean, every country in the world is going to have capital crimes for crimes that they believe will destroy their country. And they call those capital crimes. France has one, too. They have one crime that's a capital crime. It's treason. Every country, they'll kill you for treason. Why? Because they deem that, they do see that that will control, will destroy, rather, their country. Well, we do, too. It's right in our Constitution of the United States, one of the four kinds of crimes, only four, that the federal government, the general government in Washington, D.C., has jurisdiction over as to the United States. Of course, the states have authority to punish treason against each state. And that's true of all the states as well. Either they have some kind of standards against treason. Treason is a capital crime everywhere you go. Well, God says there are other things that are capital crimes, and we here in America have followed that. And matter of fact, over the world, sodomy and lesbianism have been capital crimes for centuries. Then people started getting soft on them, you know, the last couple hundred years. And now, just within my recent lifetime, not very long ago, between consenting adults, they say that's not a crime. But no, it's on the edge and it will destroy us. Well, I'm just stating the facts. It's just a legal fact, and it's a fact of history. It's not something that's open for debate or discussion. Why? Because history is clear. The Bible's clear. I can point to a lot of legal evidence. The crime against that deplorable crime against humanity is what they used to call homosexuality. Well, but people say, for instance, well, there's no victim there. They can do what they want, like that ignorant sheriff's deputy told me. They can do whatever they want. Doesn't bother me. Well, I begged to differ with him, and I said pretty much what I just said here. And then he said, well, I see what you're saying. Well, no kidding. There are a lot of crimes like that. One of the biggest crimes that doesn't require a victim is conspiracy. Conspiracy to commit treason, conspiracy to defraud the government, conspiracy to start an insurrection, conspiracy to murder, conspiracy to burglary, conspiracy. Every crime you can name, I don't care what it is, there's the crime of conspiracy that goes with it. And if conspiracy is all there is, there's no victim. There's just somebody conspiring with two or more people agreeing to commit a crime. That's the simplicity of the crime called conspiracy. Not a difficult crime to prove. And usually when a crime is charged, often conspiracy will be charged with it. In some states, it'll be subsumed into the crime, and some it won't, depending upon the jurisdiction. But just to make one point, if you remember one thing, don't say... And I know why it's easy to say that, because it seems to make sense on the surface, but it's not true, and it doesn't make sense. You don't have to have a victim to have a crime. Not in some you do. You know, actually, that's not even a fundamental criminal law, because crime, fundamentally, since ancient times and even today, is a personal offense. That's the way to define it. True in every country. Crime is a personal offense against the sovereign. That's the best definition you can come up with, really. Crime is a personal offense, personal, against the sovereign. So what is crime in France? Well, it's against whoever the sovereign is. What was crime in Nazi Germany? It was an offense against Adolf Hitler. Oh, yeah, because every country in the world is ruled by the Code of Justinian in its various forms, and crimes are personal matters against the sovereign, and the sovereign in every country in the world except the common law countries, the sovereignty is subsumed into a personality. What is crime in the Roman civil canon law church system? It's an offense against the papacy, the Pope of Rome, personally. That's what crime is. It's not a common law system. It's a law of the city system, the civil law code of Justinian. That's true of all other countries as well, except the English-speaking world. So that was the first one I wanted to make, and I, again, understand why people say it on the surface. You hear it, and you, oh, that makes sense. Why should we be able to prosecute people criminally if nobody's been hurt. Why? Because it's a personal offense against the sovereign. And who really is the sovereign here? Jesus Christ is the sovereign. He's really the only sovereign. And these other sovereignties we have down here on land are, we don't have a word for a lesser sovereign, because sovereignty is an ultimate term. So we call it a limited sovereignty. Well, to limit sovereignty is no sovereignty at all. But within this realm we call down here on land, as opposed to up in the heavens, we say that nations have sovereignty and don't answer to any power. As a matter of fact, we say this in our common law tradition. Maybe you've heard it. We say, and I've heard even Englishmen say, the government of England, which is, and the sovereign is by tradition Parliament. Parliament answers to no power on earth. You can read that in Blackstone's commentaries. Answers to no power where? On earth. Well, see, that excludes the heavens. That excludes the maker of all things and his son, Jesus Christ. That's why they say it that way. And we've always said it that way here, too. You know, we say things in our, we don't know what to do, actually. We say things in our criminal court like the state versus, and then there'll be the fellow they're prosecuting for a crime. Or the people of Illinois versus whatever. As though the people are sovereign. Well, the people aren't sovereign either. Only God is sovereign, and the government is a sovereign within the delegated jurisdiction that God has given to government. So we call that sovereign for purpose, certain purposes, a limited sovereignty, all under the ultimate and unlimited sovereignty of the maker of all things, the supreme judge of all the world, as our Declaration of 76 puts it. Well, that's what a crime is. A crime is an offense. It's a personal offense against whoever the sovereign is, whoever you take to be your sovereign. I know who the sovereign is, but some people take the sovereign to be the wrong thing or person or whatever. Here's another one. Here's one. Here's a false sovereign. Let me give you this one. Crimes against humanity. That, friends, neighbors, and kin, is the worship of demons. To say that. Don't say that. Don't submit to it. Don't talk to people like it has any authority. It doesn't. Humanity doesn't have the ultimate authority. Jesus Christ has ultimate authority. And so there is no such thing as a crime against humanity. That's a lie of the evil empire. It's humanism. It takes mankind to be the measure of all things and the final authority of all things. And once you do that, you've given unlimited authority to men. And if you're that stupid, and I mean stupid, that's stupid, men can't handle that. Don't say things that would intimate that men have unlimited authority, and that's what Crimes Against Humanity says. No, let's say it right. The problem in America, our America's going down. You're watching it happen. Why? Well, just like Solzhenitsyn said about Russia, after he got out of the gulag for about 9 years, a former artillery officer in the Russian army, he said, he was invited to make the closing speech at Harvard commencement. That was back in 1974. He said, the reason Russia went down is because we forgot God, the sovereign. Well, they didn't invite him back, as you can imagine. Well, I'd rather listen to what he's saying than listen to what they say. They're part of the problem. They deny the God that made them. And crimes are personal offenses, ultimately, against him. Against thee and thee alone, said David, king of Israel, Psalm chapter 51, against thee and thee alone have I sinned. I broke your law. Well, we need to look at it that way. Just an encouragement to the few that may be listening, that may have ears to hear. And that's what can turn the tide, is a few men taking that point of view, the light bulb coming on in their head. So the common law always, like God's system of law. Well, it is God's way of doing things. It's his natural way of doing things. Here's another thing I want to point out, and then we'll quit. We got a couple more minutes here. I wanted to say something about how politics works. In my experience, and what good it is. Now, I ran for federal office back in another life, and I was invited by the ladies, the ladies group of one of the counties to come talk to them. And I made a commitment. They were nice ladies. I remember the county, Crawford County. And then when I was waiting for that commitment to come around, I got an invitation from a railroader. A wealthy railroader. I won't say his name, almost did, but he was wealthy. And he got wind of me, and he invited me to ride in his personal rail car back to Washington, D.C. to a meeting. He had a personal car, you know, kind of like a house you live in, you know, had everything there. And I thought about it a long time. It conflicted with my commitment to the women, the Republican women in this county. And I said, no, if I start breaking commitments, there's no end to it. I want to try to keep myself and keep my nose as clean as I can, as long as I can. I'm going to go to this women's group, and I'm going to talk to them, because they invited me first. And I was going to ride to Washington, D.C. with a whole lot of important people that had a whole lot of money. And if you don't have money, you may as well not run for office. That's the mother's milk of politics. So I stayed and talked to the women's organization. Most of them were elderly kind of women. They were nice ladies and all. I talked to them, and they had a little get-together. Of course, they liked to fix things up nice, and it was all very nice and well done. I did that. Well, what happened in that situation? Well, I lost the support of the railroader and all his friends. Didn't get any money. And the Republican women in that county never did anything for me, except be nice and tell me that they supported me. Did it help? No, it didn't help. It hurt me a lot. I was running for office to win. I wasn't running to be nice to people. I thought I was, but I wasn't. It was me learning about politics. People that are in political office and people that are running for political office, if they know what they're doing, everything they do is going to be for themselves. And if they aren't totally selfish that way, they'll never get into office. And if they don't stay selfish, they'll never stay there. If you're looking to them to help you, forget it. They're not going to help you. They don't give two hoots and a holler about you. They're focused on themselves. Politics is show business for the less than glamorous. Everything has to be focused on them. If it isn't, they'll never get into office. It's that simple. I mean, have you ever seen, and I'm glad Donald Trump is in office, but let's face it, Donald Trump, and nothing wrong with it, it's part of politics. The guy's an egomaniac, isn't he? I like egomaniacs. That's not the point. I'm just making the point. If you're not that way, you're going to lose, because that's what the law of the city demands. It's the polis, the city, and the politics of it and the policy that goes with it. So don't think they're going to help you. That's not what they're thinking about. They don't represent you. That's just on paper. No. And we want certain people in certain offices. Yeah, I get it. It's gang warfare, and there's certain gangs you want in power so you can relax for a while. But don't think they're out to help you. They're out to help themselves. Well, how does this work? Well, I'll tell you how it works and how it works in your favor sometimes. It all depends upon where you're sitting. Not that the system's all bad. That's the political side of government. It's inevitable. We got to have it. But don't expect too much from it. Well, I lived at the end of a long road when I grew up. Well, I end with this story. End of a long road across the creek bottom, over the iron bridge, up the hill, and we lived on the other side, the high side of the bank of the North Fork. And, we didn't get a lot of things. I was down at my parents' the other day. Of course, they're moving pretty slow. They're not as old or young as they used to be. I couldn't get telephone service over there when I was growing up. Couldn't get electricity to come over there until later. Now they can't get cell service. I don't know what it is about that pocket over there, but people don't want to go there, I guess. But We lived at the end of the township road. On the edge of the township where three townships meet. And it was a gravel road all the way to town. Well, that wears out cars and gets muddy as all get out in the wintertime. A fellow that lived across the creek from us, Virgil Jones, had a brother, Billy, that lived on the other side of us, Billy and Virgil. They're gone now. They were old men then. Well, he ran for road commissioner. And there was a mile between us, just down the hill from where our house crossed the creek bottom, and then he lived on the second bottom on the other side. And that was the Jones place and had been for four generations, probably. Well, he ran for road commissioner. And the first thing he did, we stayed friends with him, first thing he did, running for road commissioner, he set about to pave roads, put blacktop roads on the gravel roads in the township. And the first gravel road he was going to blacktop was the gravel road, the route he took to town. He was going to blacktop his way to town, and he did. That's the first thing he did. He's a hardcore Democrat. Hardcore. But when he paved his way to town, he paved our way to town. Well, except for 1 mile between our house and his. Well, he did part of that too. But not he did it up to the bridge, but not up the hill. It was still gravel up the hill, but that wasn't very much. That's the way politics works. I mean, if a Democrat or somebody you don't like, whoever it might be, gets into office, there's no sense unnecessarily offending people like that. And Dad was always careful never to offend Virgil, and Virgil did what helped him. And he figured if he'd do what helped him, people would be happy if he helped other people on the way, and they'd vote for him again, and they did. We were happy to have him. He took care of our roads, our road on the way to town. Well, just a couple of lessons there to summarize. Number one, there doesn't have to be a victim at common law for there to be a crime. Never was that way. Sometimes there is, and a lot of times there isn't. By the way, victim's an old Latin word from the ancient pagan halls of Babylon, and it means something, an animal that's had its throat slit and sacrificed to a pagan god. That's a victim. Well, you don't have to have a victim. You just have to have an offense against the sovereign, a personal offense. And second, don't think people in politics are going to help you. They don't give a thought about you. They like to tell themselves they do, and they want to think that they're lovely people, and they say, I really helped him, or this fellow that, or this bunch, or that. But they don't care. So you have to work with them. This is Brent Allen Winters, CommonLawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. We just finished our grand jury course, 12 weeks. You can still sign up for it and go. It's all recorded, audio and visual. You can listen to it. Go to commonlawyer.com. And then Thursday, two or three days away, we're starting a class called How to Draft Your Own Common Law Trust. How to Draft Your Own Common Law Trust. And that will be a 12-week course. You're getting a good value there. You're getting, and I'm not peddling documents. I'm showing you how it works and teaching you about the trust itself, which is as mysterious as the doctrine of the Trinity to many lawyers and judges because they don't practice in that area. And we're going to talk about all those things, how it works, the simplicity of it. And when you're done, you'll have a fundamental trust document of your own. That's the idea, anyway. Go to commonlawyer.com. And John or Gerard is probably still there, aren't you?
I'm here.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And, that sounds interesting, the Common Law Trust. I've got some knowledge on it, but, I'm definitely learning. I'd like to learn some more about how that works. I did create one. I don't know if I've done it really correctly, but I think I did. But I'm interested in that course, so I appreciate that. Hey, a private train car, isn't that what's called the caboose? The last train of the train?
Well, back when I was a kid, they had cabooses. They were always on the end of the train, though.
Yes, yes. But weren't they always private?
Oh, no, this was a private car. This wasn't.
Yeah, but is not a caboose private? I may be wrong. I may be just under.
Oh, the cabooses. Well, I remember the cabooses were there, and there was a man that stayed in the caboose, and he was supposed to know what was going on at the tail end of the train, and he could talk by radio
phone
to the locomotive. And they, but now, of course, everything's done by satellite, and there are no more cabooses. So the fell up in the, now I've had engineers tell me this. I'm not a railroader, but I've had engineers tell me, we know what's going on both ends, coming and going. We've got satellite receptors all along the railroad track at both ends of the train.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah, you know, I kind of always thought that, you know, for instance, look, you take like someone that's rich and has their own private car, like you said, maybe they own the train service or whatever it's called, and, you know, they come in on their private car, and it would be left in the yard as trains are moving around when they're heading back out, and they'd hook a ride on the end of another. That's what I thought the caboose was, but I guess I was...
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah. No, that was a railroad employee in that caboose.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess it's the car before the caboose.
That's right. I miss them. I miss seeing those cabooses, but I guess it's just nostalgia.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's move on here. And if you want to respond to anything we're talking about, feel free to pipe in. We're going to move back over to our Q&A, and if anybody else wants to get into the Q&A, we've got a few people in the Q&A, star 6 and a 1. So we'll next take our next caller in the Q&A. Let's see. It is that John? Am I back to John? John, are you back up on us again?
I guess it's me. I punched in and then you canceled it, so I punched in again. So I don't need to be. I don't need to talk to you already. I already sent you that email. So
okay, we'll move to the next person then. Okay, and I think let's see. Go to this one, I believe. Hold on. It's not right. Hold on a second. Almost hit the wrong button here. Nine 954 area code. What's your first name and your state? Is that Robbie?
Well, Robinson. Washington Robinson, Andromedia.
Okay. Go right ahead. What's your first name again?
Andromedia.
Andromedia. Okay, go right ahead, Andromedia.
All right, one is a a matter of you need to know about concerning the sheriffs. The other one is a question. All right, first, I would like to get one of those common law by consent books, yes, to send to because I told you I stayed in Florida over 20 years, and I told you the problem there last week. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. I need to alert you, and believe me when I tell you how well I know them. If you send one there, the executive director of Tony Gregory, who's the head sheriff, and Lieutenant Wozlowski of the Corrupt Internal Affairs, they are self-trained, you know, and collude to confiscate his mail. And if you try to meet with him, they won't. If you call, they will discourteously say some sarcastic remarks to you and hang up. They'll even say, like, as if the sheriff is God's twin brother. He doesn't meet with individuals. And you got to go through them to try to get an appointment with him. They did the same thing when Scott Israel was in office.
But you can make an appointment to meet him, right?
No, they won't allow it. They do it on purpose.
Who's they that won't allow it?
His executive director and the secretary.
Well, he needs to take control of his elected office and maybe get rid of some of these people then, because
they won't. Right.
Well, look at the only way the people are going to fix that is to get a look at. He's got to run for office. He is an elected official. And he's got to run for office.
Right.
I mean, there are some places where sheriffs are appointed, but in any event, generally speaking, they have to run for office. So they have to talk to the people. They have to get out there, and they have to go to the committee men. Well, people need to let them know we are the committee men. When you start your committee of safety, you are the true committee man. You're not the statutory committee man. You're not the bar control, the body boss committee man. You wasn't a creation of fiction. No, you are the people. And if he doesn't want to meet with you, well, that's fine. Then you're going to support someone else to become sheriff, because that sheriff's got to go, obviously. And you know what? When you when we bring our message to them, okay, you're going to bring your charter, you're going to bring your resolutions. He's already got a copy of the book, and if he rejects those things, then he has rejected. But hold on, if he rejects those things, then he's rejecting the people. He's rejecting the Constitution. Yeah. He's rejecting the common law, and we got to reject him.
That'll take the nail on their own. They don't. He
can fix that. You can fire them. Say, don't do that. I want my mail. You bring it in to me. That's that. But that's up to him to get a backbone and do something. But look, he's probably part of the problem, maybe. But, you know, don't think your sheriff is. A lot of people think the sheriff is bad. They're evil because they've done this and they've done that. They didn't know, You know,
they are together with speakers and they take children, you know. And make
right,
money,
but we got to come with an olive branch. Yeah. We got to come with education. We got to come, got to come with that olive branch. We got to give the opportunity of repentance and the realization, hey, you know, I've been taught the wrong thing. Yeah. I'm following a bunch of lawyers, which is really the enemy of the Republic. I should be following the people, following the Constitution and protecting and working for the people. And that's the added, the change we have to make in all of our elected officials. And if they're not willing to make those changes and do the right thing, then it's very simple. We can get rid of anybody in office at any given time. Once you organize, it's called recall. You can recall them. And if they are committing any kind of a crime, we could tell the courts, then you go to the grand jury. And you give it to the information to the sheriff to go to the grand jury, and the grand jury will take it and consider whether it's a crime or not, and we can get rid of him through an indictment. But one way or the other, the people can get rid of anybody in office. They just don't know, and they don't know how. They don't understand, and they're not organized. Mm-hmm. They've been divided. United we stand, divided we fall. That's why the people got to come together. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And a couple of hundred people in every county across America, we control it all. But I will assure you, you get a couple of hundred people in most of the counties across the America, those are going to grow 500, 1,000. People are going to join up by the droves. And as we take control of the education, get the control of the education back to the people, to the parents whose children are going to that school, making sure and requiring that they teach these children, you know, what their duty is, what the Constitution is, a civics course, and how to access the courts, how to drive a car, how to handle a weapon, what their responsibilities are as an adult. All these things that they focused in, because right now they're just creating, you know, more minions. They're creating, you know, people that are just following along and become part of the problem. They don't know it. But once you free them with knowledge, okay, those children will step up as they become adults if we feed them the right things. That's the key.
Right.
It starts off with just 102 people in your county. That starts off with one person. But go ahead.
Well, I'm willing to do that, but I got a caseload, and that's the problem. I myself couldn't do it. I'm capable of doing that. I'm very good because I've mastered
religion. But we're all capable of starting it. We can pass.
Yeah.
Look, I do not have the time to run a committee of safety in my county. I just don't have the time, and I have the time to participate. I have the time to go to the monthly meetings. I have the time to participate on a subcommittee and do a little work as everyone else. But as the organizer, and I don't have that time. But my name is up there as a contact, okay, for my county, and I will work with people and hopefully pass it. Well, eventually I'll pass that on to someone who wants it, and someone will pick it up. You know, and take the leadership role, and that's what we all need to do. If you haven't if you haven't joined a committee of safety or started a committee of safety, if there isn't one, you need to do it because it's your duty, it's your requirement. You must do it. You don't have a choice, because we have to take back this nation, and it's your job, not the other guy's job.
I contacted the young man you do have in Broward County. I spoke with him about an hour. I forgot his name, but I did speak with him and did tell him I'm willing to help out however I can, because I do know the county, although I've recently left Florida, but I'm still willing because they still have my grandchildren in kidnapping and have been tortured. They tortured my children and messed them up mentally. They tortured me, you know, and drugged me in order to conceal their crimes against me. you know what I'm saying, and tortured me to a variety of drugs, unknown drugs I don't even know. So
see, right there, you are describing, you know, injuries of war. You are a casualty of war. And yes. So am I, many. And you just described some of your injuries. You need to be compensated. And I'll tell you what, I believe with no doubt this is what's going to happen. And if the government does take all this funds, all this monies, all these business, and doesn't give it to the people, we need to go after the government real hardcore. Most of the criminals will be gone if we can get the courts will be back to courts of justice, and we'll pull them into those courts of justice, and we'll deal with them. But that's not going to happen.
My kids were never the same once I died.
Hold on. Let me finish.
They're going to get to retaliate against me. You know what I'm saying? And let me finish, though.
The key to this whole thing is the people taking it back. But go ahead.
Right. Yeah, they became dysfunctional, and because they tortured them and they molested them while they were in their foster care, you know, just out of hatred and retaliation, you know, just because they could and they conceal the crimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they are good at that. There's no doubt about it. They conceal their crimes and they commit the crimes in front of everyone, and, you know, the ones who know it's crimes don't open their mouths because maybe they got something on, they're getting payola or whatever it is, I don't know. But most people don't even realize, they don't even know. And people don't know how bad the courts are. Anybody who has not been in a court, they have no clue on how seriously defunct they are. We are in trouble, people. We are in big trouble.
Yeah.
We need to fix
I have been there. And I have been threatened because they knew I knew law, and I've been threatened. They'll threaten me either way. They call their henchmen. You know, I've even been dealt a George Floyd incident, you know, where I was thrown to the ground and my air cut off, you know, and I have asthma. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things I could say. I've been standing up rightly to a de facto judge, and they think it's a big deal to push that button and call their boys. If you say something they don't like, especially if it is law.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We saw what happened in the Bundy case up there when a lawyer stepped up for, you know, the release of the prisoners, saying, hey, wait a second, there is no restraining from any other state on it. We've got to let them go. And they tased them. They tased the lawyer in the courtroom. My goodness. Mm. And I haven't heard anything that happened in response to that, just that they just got tased. Mm. And I mean, that's where we're at.
They could have been a taser for me, too.
People who are not in the courts, who have never been in the courts on a situation like these things, they have no clue. They think that they have rights. They think that they have unalienable rights or constitutional rights, if you want to call them that. They think they have that. I'm here to tell you, you don't have those rights in these courtrooms because these people are just pure evil. They all belong in jail.
Yes, sir. Now, my next one is, but just letting you know, if you send I haven't purchased one. If you send it, they will confiscate it. He'll never get it. So, you know, you can't, how are you going to take the next step? He's not going to get it. Don't make sure.
Well, again, look at, here's what the Committee of Safety has to get together. They have to do what they got to do. If the book comes back and I send it back, when a book comes back.
No, they'll keep it. They'll get it and keep it.
Well, okay, then when you go to make meeting with the sheriff, and if you can't get that meeting with the sheriff, then you have to get someone else to run against them. And you know what? I'd have to think about this, but there's no doubt you should be able to go sue the sheriff's office at this point for not doing his duty. His duty is to respond to the people, to protect the people's unalienable rights. That's his key purpose. He's the chief law enforcer of the county. That's his job, and he needs to be communicating with his constituents. And if he's not doing that, in my opinion, that's dereliction of duty, and the people should sue him. I'll tell you what, if it was in my county, I think I would start with a notice and demand and then move it into the courts. But in order to do that, you really want to get a committee of safety going first, get everything going, your resolutions, you get your seal, you get your, you know, everything you need, your charter, and you're all prepared. And then you move into the courts with this. And
do you have in your instructions what a seal is supposed to look like for a committee of safety?
Everything is in the book on creating the committees, everything, even the seal. We suggest what the seal should look like, and it's in the book. And people are free and independent. They could do what they want. But look, I believe it's extremely important for us to be as uniform as possible. So structurally, we should be uniform. So I hope people follow the structure. If there is a weakness in the structure, if there is something that is defective in the structure, then they should bring it to our attention. We should look at that, consider it, and maybe rewrite that area or whatever needs to be done. But we should be all structured the same. You know, there's a lot of differences between the states, and a lot of the states, you know, they've been divided, and some of the states to the union, they came under certain pressure and stress because in order to do this, they would do that. I mean, all kinds of things. The constitutions are all over the place, and it's a shame that we couldn't have been a little more uniform. But again, you know, we are free and independent. We do have problems with a state like Louisiana. Louisiana has to be dealt with when we get to the other side. I come to realize that Connecticut needs to be dealt with severely with their sheriff problem.
Well, I'm originally from Connecticut. I've been there all my life, over 30-something years since I was like 4 years old. That's originally where I'm from.
All right, well, I got to move on because we still have more people and we're running late.
I didn't get a chance to ask my second question.
Well, hit the why don't you start 6 and 1 and come back. Well, is it quick? What do you got?
Yeah, when you do your indictments for your judges, though, I don't see on your site like where you mentioned ever having been able. Do you put warrants out then, or how have you ever been able to arrest these judges?
No. So we file the indictments. In the case of most of the indictments that we're filing is on the federal level, so we're filing it with the Attorney General. We used to file it with Barr. We filed it with Sessions. And we haven't filed anything since Barr is gone, so we haven't really filed anything new, although we have been filing Hold on. Yeah, the Attorney General on the federal level, because it's a federal situation we're looking at. We're dealing with enemies foreign and domestic on the federal level, but that exists on the state level, too. But this is where we have to start off on the federal level. But we do file up, but we do have some ones that we have to file up that we got to put up online because we opened a court case up in the Northern District of New York in order to file our indictments and our paperwork. It's sort of a depository, if you may. So we've opened it up, and nothing has ever been returned from that. We've made it clear to the clerks, you return it, and as far as we're concerned, then that's a crime. And we lay out the crime, we give them the code and so on. But we also follow up on our website. We also follow up on our website, and we'll be packaging and catching up with what we haven't filed yet.
And you don't have a problem with the Attorney General acting on them, or you know,
No one is going to act on these things until we get to the other side, and then we'll push enforcement. We'll think that out because there's a couple of different ways we can approach it, but I don't want to get into that now because we're running out of time and there's
I just want to say I know the statewide criminal grand jury. You may have heard of them in Manatee County and in Nebraska. They do their own.
Well, look at with what we're doing.
Warrants.
Yeah, well, look at what we're doing here. Yeah. We're trying to be very careful. We're trying to teach people. We want people to be educated. We don't want people to fly off the handle here. And if you're not educated, if you're not have an understanding of what's really going on in the system, and if you're acting out of anger, it's a big problem, you know. So we have to be very careful. So we have really set things up that we only have. We've come together as the one unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which all the states agreed to. I mean, we went through a structure thing throughout the entire United States, county to county, state to state, and we've structured all that. And so we act as any one. Meanwhile, we're trying to teach the people, of course, look at get educated because you have to take control over this on your own level. But right now, we're dealing with one serious problem, and the serious problem we are dealing with is enemies, both foreign and domestic, with inside our government and particularly focusing on the federal level. Because once we deal with the federal level, it's a downhill battle for us at that point. And we will be able to... That'll wash through the nation very quickly once we get courts of justice. I'm convinced of that. But we really don't want people to jump up and get grand juries going and stuff. I mean, look, if they do get very educated and they understand what's going on, well, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. But please, people need to really understand. You can't act out of anger and hatred, and you can't act out of ignorance. You have to really be, you know, impartial. And you have to be serious about this, and you must be educated. Mm-hmm. You must come, you know, with a bent knee before God, ultimately. That's the requirement. And because remember, he is the king of the court. We're representing him.
Of course.
Those 12 individuals, you know, that's the king's bench. That's the jury.
That's
the
right.
king's bench. And the king is, like, as Brent mentioned, is Jesus Christ. It's God eternal.
I'm a minister. I'm definitely with that. I'm well versed in the Bible.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, everything you need to do and know is in that book. We've got lots of booklets about the whole process, and we're going to be creating more information. I just updated the charter, and I think I'll address that next week, maybe spend 10, 15 minutes talking about it, and then we'll open up for questions. But I really got to move on because we're running out of time, okay?
All right.
All right. Thanks for the questions. Good call. Thank you.
Okay,
let us take our next caller. That is, looks like, Julia. Is that correct, Julia? What state are you in?
Julie.
Right
now I'm in Georgia, but I'm going to be going back to Florida.
Okay, Julie from Georgia going to Florida. Go ahead.
I just finished the civics course in the class online, and after I got done, it said that the civics course was not available. So will I get credit for that?
Well, yeah, you should be credited for that. We'll check into. I'll tell you what. Send that your question, if you've been credited to that, to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and someone in the leadership will pick up on that and look your name up. There's a couple of people who go in there and look you up and see that it's been accredited. So it is important for us to know that that is working properly. So as people are going through these courses, please let us know if there's any problems, if you're getting stuck on a course and you can't bypass it, or you finish the course and you're not sure whether you've been accredited for it as far as your name on the website. Just send us a request to mail at mail@nationallibertyalliance.org, and someone will look into it. We'll let you know. If you want a certificate of completion, you can file for that. I think we ask for a donation of $25 or more. I forget what it is, but I think that's what it is. And we'll send you a certificate of completion. Anybody running for, jury administrator, anybody that wants to take that job within the county, which is a paid position, full-time work with benefits and everything, we need 5 people in every county. To take that position, and they will be somewhat monitored by the committees of safety. They'll be the final judgment of any problems that take place within that group of people. But in any event, those people are required to take that position, required to take a special certificate which encompasses all of our courses. They must take every single course we have up, which is about 5 courses, and then they will be qualified. And we are writing a book, which we haven't got out yet, but I think most of it's written already. But we'll be writing a book, a handbook for the jury administrators, process and procedure, so to speak, for them, and protocols. Anything that we don't cover, people can come here and ask us, questions on it. If we don't have the answer, we'll research it out, and then we'll add that to the booklet information. Those booklets will be free, downloadable PDFs. We probably will get handbooks, which we'll probably sell them, a buck a piece or something, whatever it is, depending on what we have to pay to get them printed. But we'll make it pretty cheap. And the same thing with jurist handbooks. Every jurist should get a handbook. Right now people can download that as a PDF, and those also will be done in little booklets and be able to order them by the hundreds or even thousands, and the more you order, the cheaper it will be. We could probably get them down, if you order them by hundreds, we'll probably get them down to like 65 cents a piece, maybe something like that. And of course, that will be funded by the government, because there is a process for the paychecks and for the cost overhead to operate. Right now they have the commissioners or jurors, usually it's what it's called. They may call them different things in different counties or states. But here in New York, we got commissioners of jurors, and most of them are bar attorneys, by the way. They got to go. We need people in there, people who are disconnected from the whole system and owe nothing to nobody, are not politically involved, and not involved in the court system in such a fashion as the good old boys gang, So, but everything's up there that you need. Anything else?
Okay. Yeah, I had two suggestions.
Yeah.
One of them is to have an NLA booth at the Trump rallies. Is there any? I haven't seen any of the Trump rallies I've been to.
Well, we need people who are going to Trump rallies who would do that. Let us know. And again, you know, we'll get literature and put things together for people to take. And you know, committees of safety can all do that all on their own, too, and represent NLA and represent their own committees of safety and encourage people, because the whole thing is really about building committees of safety. That's what NLA is all about, ultimately, is the return of power to the people on the grassroots level, and we are facilitators of organization, communication, and education. That's our key purpose. And, you know, and everybody's free and independent on the local level, and whatever they decide to do is what the people decide to do. So, but yeah, that's a good idea. People need to get involved. We need volunteers. Anybody who thinks that they can get me an interview with anyone anywhere to get the word out, you know, let us know. mail@nationallibertyalliance.org. Make sure you put your phone number in there. We'll have your email address, of course. Put your phone number in there because we may call you. And let us know if you can set us up for interviews anywhere, or if you want to organize something for Trump rallies or organize things for that movie theater thing that we heard about a little earlier, and or anything else, any ideas. We need to get the word out. We need to hit critical mass. We have 10,000 members now. Let me double check. I saw us just getting ready to tip over 10,000 just recently. I looked up there. And it's on our website on the right-hand side. If you go down, let's see, we have 9,982 members. So we're about, 18 people short of 10,000. And by the way, just so everybody knows, you know, if you keep an eye on the right side of our website as you come down below, as you scroll down, this is on pretty much every page, you'll see recent content, okay? So you'll see some of the things recently posted. I post videos from new videos from time to time. For instance, I posted some new information and videos up on the Devolution page, and you can come right here and click on that and go right to that page and see. Let me see. I'll just click on that. Go right to Devolution, and you can come down here, and you'll see some new videos that are up there just recently put up. Okay. Really, really, you know, powerful information up here. You know, for instance, the electromagnetic pulse protection, there was an update on that. So people can go up there if they've been looking at the information on the page and they're familiar with it and they can see some new stuff. They should be able to pick that up pretty quickly. So keep an eye on the right-hand side, recent content. So when we post new stuff on the pages, you have it. I'm going to be creating about 3 or 4 new pages, which I'll be putting under Starter Committee of Safety. And we'll always be adding onto the website more information, details, pages, add videos, content, and so on. But you can keep up on that right here. You can also come down to the bottom of this list and click on more, and you'll get more information. Well, I guess. I don't know if anybody has contact. Actually, this may be just for me. I don't know. I don't know whether you can get into that. Maybe people can test that. Maybe you can get into this page and click on a lot of different information in here. Of course, you won't have the control to edit or delete it, but, you know, only the certain people have that power to make changes on the website. Okay, then there's also recent comments. You can go through that, you know. So, anyway, a lot of new stuff that's always going up. All right, anything else? I got to move on. We kind of over time, but I got 2 more people I want to get them in. Huh?
One thing, I just wanted to mention the amount of the police brutality is just running rampant in the
country.
Oh,
yeah, for a long time, yeah.
Yeah, I know three friends that were beat up really bad.
Yeah, and the federal level is the worst, but yeah, it's on every level, right down to the towns. You know, they've been poisoned severely, and I understand that they try to get, you know, a lot of these cops, the police officers, they try to get people with the low IQ. They don't take people on with high IQ. This is what I've heard, and that might be true in a lot of places. I don't think it's true in every place. So,
well, the three that I know of are very intelligent, so that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, well, but people with a low IQ are much easier to control, too. But they'll need some high IQ people that's evil that could control them too, you know. So that's probably from another perspective, you know, another point of view of that. Okay, right. Julie, appreciate the call.
Nice, thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's take our next caller. We have two more callers. I do want to take both people before we close down. So next question, we got Willie. Willie, what state you're from? Willie, you got the mic. What state you're from? At least that's what it says. Should have heard you've been unmuted. But I see the name Willie up there with a Hotmail email address. Willie, last call for Willie. Okay, we're going to take the next person. Willie, last call. Okay. Next person, is that Michael?
Yeah, it's Mike from Michigan, John.
Michigan, at the mic.
Yeah, just something real quick here about the committees of safety, John. Like when, let's say you're not totally organized, you don't have the four officers, so to speak, together right. for your committee of safety, but you have four like-minded people, and those four people go and they approach the local government at the county level, they shoot at you, you shoot at them, and it goes nowhere, but what does it come to a point where you think that committee should reapproach that county level government and bring up such word as a jurisdiction and from whom is the jurisdiction coming from that that dictates to us that we have to in layman's terms, jump through the hoops that you say we have to jump through, and followed up by the law comes from servants. So that would be something that I don't understand how you can propose to have a law when you're being a servant to dictate what happens in our community.
Are you calling the people the servant? What are you calling the people in office?
No. Well, I left that wide open. Sorry, I was speaking to the servant as
the servant government. The servants, yeah, and they must. They need to. You see, they think they're the masters. The servants have taken over the house.
Yes.
They think they're the masters, and this is the problem. They walk in and they start wielding their powers, thinking they're the authority. They need to understand. No. You are the servant. You work for me. Okay, and the only way that these people are going to be brought back into subjection is really ultimately is to get your committee of safety going and start to then wielding your power. It's going to be very difficult with four people, but four people can start the process. I can tell you, ultimately it's one, but it's four people in every single county that control everything within the county. And in every state, there's four people that control every county. And then, again, you bring the level up on the federal level, is four people that control the whole thing. I mean, it may be a little more than that, of course, but basically that is the structure. And so it's the chairman, it's the co-chairman, it's the treasurer, and it's the secretary, basically those four individuals. Now, people, once you have four people together, you could start working on your paperwork and getting your seal and everything, but you still need to be organizing and getting people. I would not approach the sheriff or any government agency until you have at least between 6 to 12 people, bare minimum. And I would push more towards the 12, but again, it depends on the people, you know, the sheriff. Maybe you know the sheriff, he's a good guy, he's responsive, you know. But, you know, what you want to do is you want to get an introductory meeting going, okay? So if you got four people, you should start planning an event. And what you want to do is maybe go to a rod and gun club or something, see if they'll, sponsor, use their space. Definitely they'll rent it out to you if you want. You'd ask them to bring their membership that you want to do an introduction to government by consent by the people to bring this government back under the Constitution again. And so you invite those people. There are lots of different groups and liberty groups. There's maybe a couple of gun clubs or fishing clubs or whatever in your county. And even I would invite people in counties next door, but you want to get an event. And the event should basically be run, we put the information up here right on the front page. I'm pretty sure we did. I'll have to think about that, and I'll discuss it next week, and whatever we're missing, I'll put it up there. But basically, we had a seminar, The Plan for Government by Consent. It was recorded on 12/18/2021. And this is the very same basic information that I used when I have live events. I've done this before live, but this here it was done over the Internet. And if you can run using this, we can give you all of the PowerPoints that we use to do this and the short videos we use to do this. I don't think I created a page for that, but I'm going to create a page for that. I mean, but basically, this is what you should do. The first meeting should be long. It should be two to three hours, maybe even 4 hours. But you want to get everything in 2 or 3 hours, and then anybody stays a little later. It's really, really an open forum conversation. And hopefully you've interested enough, they'll all stay. You want to get a big event going and get people to join up. And again, people outside the county are fine also, because you want to entice them to do the same in partnership. You know, they'll be your sister counties. Also, if you notify your district leader, you can find that, your district leader in numerous places. One of the places is under directory itself. Come down to district leaders. You can also find it in the Starter Committee of Safety. You find out who your district leader is, you know, what state you're in, and you'll find the district number 5, for instance. You'll find is Gary. Here's his phone number. You give Gary a call. You say, hey, I'm looking to put an event together in my county, and Gary will send you a list of first name and phone numbers. No more than that. We won't give emails or anything like that. First name and phone numbers of every person in your state and what counties they're in. And then you can invite all those people, and hopefully a percentage of them come, maybe the people close by, and hopefully there'll be a lot of people in your county that's on that list. But again, you know, there's the Rotary Club, there's all kinds of different groups. You want to approach them and say, hey, we're doing an event, and we want to teach people how to have government by consent. And you know, you can put some flyers out and get an event going. Once you get that event going, you should develop a decent membership out of that. You know, if you're 4 people, you should have hopefully, you know, 15 or 20 people that'll, you know, kind of pipe in. And the key thing is, and you should bring this up at every meeting, everybody should bring a friend on the next meeting. So if 20 people bring a friend or two, you've got another 20 people, potential members. And then those people, you've got 40 maybe or 30, and those people bring two. That's potentially 60. And then those people, it's potentially 120. But the thing is after that first event, and you get maybe 20 people or so, 15, 20 people or whatever, that's, and you should have at that point, if you haven't worked out, and you could do it with 4 people, you can do the charter and the resolution just with 4 people, and then after that event, you can reopen it up to add things, because you'll have more minds, more thoughts, and you'll discuss more and maybe add to that. And once you perfect it, and you'll always be adding to that as time goes on, especially resolutions, not so much on the charter. The charter at some point will become pretty solid, and maybe occasionally you'll add something. But the point is that once you have that paperwork together, you got your seal for your county committee of safety, first order of business is to approach the sheriff. Make sure he's got a book. Make sure you got your first 5-minute meeting with him, and you invite him for the second meeting, which he comes to. And that time, maybe you'll have 30, 40 people. Who knows? Now you're really in business. Once you get the sheriff to sign in on you, that's when you start going for your local government, your towns, your villages, and so on. And then you work your way up to the county, and you work your way, you know, you deal with your federal representative that represents you in Washington, you know, and all the other stuff. And you work from county to county, and, you know, that's how we grow. This is how we got to do it. And we will shut down that political process that is up there, that's statutory and part of the New World Order. We will shut that down just by our being, our existence. I can see it clearly in my mind. It's just going to fall apart at that point. And that's the only way we're going to get rid of political parties. We cannot become involved in politics. We don't discuss those things that they discuss. We discuss the Constitution. They want to discuss, you know, or gender this or that, or, you know, maybe gender 21, or they want to discuss, you know, male and female and some other gender or something. You know, hey, what are you doing? That has nothing to do with the Constitution. It has nothing to do with your business. What are you talking about? Don't talk about that. Do not use your power, your political seat, as a springboard to bring forth destructiveness and division here. You guys need to be discussing the business that we gave you. And if it's a congressman particularly, and I like to stick on the federal level because we look a lot at the federal constitution, of course. So the congressman, you let him know, look it, go to your constitution, and you give him a handbook or something. Go to your constitution. Your powers are right there in Article 1, Section 8. Yeah, there's a few other places you could do some legislation that's mentioned other places within the constitution. But generally speaking, their powers are right there. Anything outside of that, they don't have business discussing. You want to discuss abortion? Forget about it. It's not your job. It's not your business. You have no power, no authority. You can't do legislation on that. It's none of your business. We did not give you the authority to do that. This is the powers. If it's not mentioned in here, you don't have the power, the authority to discuss that on your position of level, you know, in power and in government position that you're holding. And this is how we have to deal with these people, and this is what we got to do. We cannot get involved with politics, anything that's divisive. You should never be discussing homosexuality in your meetings. You shouldn't be discussing a third gender or a fourth gender or any of those things. You know, children trying to get sex changes in school, and parents don't even know about it, and they're feeding. All this stuff is got to be stopped. And these, should we do this or shouldn't we do it, shouldn't even be discussed. It's not open for them. We've already laid that. We're a republic, a common law republic. We've laid down. We, the people, ordained and established the Constitution for them, and here's your powers. And, you know, we have, I believe it's six points in the preamble to the Constitution. And anything government does must be really supporting one or more of those 6 points. Because if it's not supporting one or more of those 6 points in the preamble of the Constitution, then they're not doing their job. So, but anyway,
it all boils down to them being outside their jurisdiction.
Exactly, and they need to stop. And if you don't stop, we're going to recall you. You see, that's when you start to have enough people. You got 100 people or more. Now you got the power to recall easily the local government, and you definitely have the power even to recall your congressman, your representative. Definitely your legislators for your state. You know, you have the power to recall them because you'll have enough people involved to go out to get the necessary signatures to have it done. When you have 200 or 300 or 400 people, many hands make light work. You know, so you'll have more people doing more work. And working in the community, you know, everybody needs to belong to a subcommittee, you know, belong to the Committee of Education, the Political Committee, the Judicial Committee, the Committee of Correspondence, you know, all these different committees that we've created and we've listed, and I'm sure there's a lot more that people can think about, and they'll just execute them and create other committees. We need to bring our schools back under the subjection of the parents, of the people. There's a lot of work we need to do, but we don't need to be spending any more than maybe 2 or 3 hours a month on our work, and maybe even not that much. You know, you go to, let's say, you decide, well, we're going to visit this particular school. We're going to talk to, you know, the school leadership, the principals, or whoever's involved. We're going to tell them what our expectations are. We're going to show them the federal law that requires civics to be taught. We'll give them the civics course that they need, and so on and so forth. You know, we have to dictate to them what's, and if they refuse to do it, it's a federal law, it's required. If they're receiving federal money, they have to teach civics, but it's not enforced. So let's enforce that. They are required to do it. And let's get the parents, the people in the community, and let's get them up there and say, hey, this is what we want our children to learn. We want a proper education for our children. But it's the same thing, and not just in the lower schools. We need to do that in the colleges also. And, you know, I've seen enough to believe, and educational-wise for watching children and seeing different things that I've seen in my life, any child with a proper, if a proper education is be given to any child, okay, by the time they get to 8th or 9th grade, okay, they should, let's say 9th grade, 9 years, they should have a college level, today's college level education, and probably beyond that. Definitely should have that, okay, because they're taught so much pablum. They're taught, how to be a good comrade. They're taught how to think. They're taught what to think and not how to think. When we start teaching our children how to think and start feeding them the things that they would crave, and they don't even know that they crave, because it's empowerment to know how your government works, to know how your court system works, to know how to access the courts, to know what your liberty is and what your rights is, to know that you are the boss, that you're the authority, we are the masters, they are the servants, and they start to learn all these things in school, it's going to empower them, and it's putting proper thoughts in them. We're teaching them to think on these things. You know, that's kind of a biblical principle. God tells us think on these things in the Bible. Well, we need to teach children to think on these things, which really is a natural law republic. So it's going to end right back into the Bible also, because God is the king of the court. And people need to know, children need to know that. And we can never shy away from that. People could disagree, that's fine, and we'll move on. But the majority of the people realize that. I get very little feedback when I talk about these things like that. And I see Brent is the same way. He gets very little feedback. Yeah, you have people who will debate or argue that, but, you know, we're not going to change everyone. And we just got to move on and get people involved. And, again, we don't have government by majority. Never have, never will. We have government by the majority that participates. Those people that are participating on the county level with the committees of safety, working with other people, we're the ones that put the people into the office. We're the ones that get them onto the tickets and onto the ballots. We're the ones that will push recalls when they break their oaths and refuse to do things, or we see that they're doing some corrupt things. We can push towards indictment and remove them almost immediately at that point. An indictment would remove them from office immediately. A recall will take 90 days to go through the process. But that's okay. That's how it works.
At least the process is in motion.
Mm-hmm. So everybody needs to get involved. Everybody needs to get involved. Let's do what we have to do. And let's take this nation back and bring it one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right,
okay.
John, thanks for
final comment?
No, that's it. You have a good night.
Okay. All right. Godspeed, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. See you soon. Thank you.
Lord willing.